I'm enjoying my time here, getting out and about, meeting staff, meeting fans, and getting a deeper understanding of the club and the heritage and the history of the club, because you can only do so much reading before you come to a club to really get a deep understanding of how it works and what's important. But there's some fantastic people here. I'm enjoying my time here. I'm enjoying getting a deeper understanding of the club and meeting people. But it's going well so far. Thank you, Andy.
For people who don't study footballing CVs and the jobs that you've done in the past, could you tell us a little about Paul Senior and your footballing background?
Okay, well, this is my sixth club. 30 years, approaching 30 years in the industry, having worked at West Ham United, Charlton Athletic, Crystal Palace, Tottenham Hotspur, Sheffield Wednesday last season, and now Blackburn Rovers. Had a background, I've been a coach, I've been a recruiter, as I say, I've had a mixed bag, a project manager, and football director as well, and sporting director. So it's a mixed bag of administration as well as operational and strategic roles. I've worked domestically, I've worked European-wide, my time at Spurs, gosh, working as an European scout all over the globe. Could be in Milan on a Monday, France on a Wednesday, Argentina on a Friday. So I think the last count was probably about 80 different countries I operated in. So my background, let's say, operational strategic roles at football clubs, six clubs, 30 years, and working, say, nationally and internationally.
I think your appointment came slightly out of the blue, that Blackburn Rovers supporters weren't particularly expecting your appointment. Was it a relatively straight and quick forward process for yourself? Were you approached, and how did it work out?
Yeah, straightforward. There was the club had a defined need. They had a capacity gap, I would say, at a strategic level. The owners had been thinking about this for some time, I'm led to believe, and it was an opportunity that arose at the right time. Over years, you meet people on the footballing circuit, you meet managers and leaders from clubs, and I suppose it was a case of connectivity that previous years, I think people appreciate the work that I did at Sheffield Wednesday, where I restructured the football club, brought in 14 new players, worked with a budget, some good developments off the pitch as well, new facilities at the training ground, a stronger infrastructure at the football club, taking Sheffield Wednesday from a club that was potentially in the lower half of the Championship to on the verge of the Premier League last season. So I think people in the industry have seen that as a positive development, and obviously enhanced my CV based on what I'd done before.
Throughout your life in football, have you been aware of the Rao family and the Venky's brand as such? Have you known them before you've come to this job, or is it very much a case of it's a new relationship?
It's a new relationship that's based around Blackburn. Obviously, in recent years, I've met members of the family. I've met the owners at the various games. Obviously, you meet in the boardrooms and things like that, and you meet people on the circuit, and you have conversations, and you build a rapport. But it's on a surface level. But there came a time that the owners or the club clearly felt there was a need to add strategic capacity in this area, in the football department oversight area, and it was felt that I could be a good fit based on what the club's needs were.
So are you very much the go-between here at Ewood Park and Pune in India? Is it your responsibility to be that daily contact?
I have regular contact with the owners. I'm not the only person who has contact with the owners at the football club. When there are areas within my department and my area of responsibility that the owners need to be brought aware of, then naturally I'll link with them as well, but I link with other people as well. But there are other people at the club who have relationships with the owners in India as well.
How important is that relationship between India and Ewood Park? Because speaking to Blackburn Rovers supporters that we do, they tell us it's the lowest ebb they've ever been at as a Rovers fan. They hear nothing from the owners, nothing positive in their response anyway. So how important is it that somehow there can be a bridge built between the support base and the owners that currently it appears there isn't a great deal of one?
Well, my thoughts on that are, the fans are very passionate about the football club, naturally wanting the best for the football club, as do the owners as well. And the owners have made a significant investment to making sure that this club stays solvable financially as well. And as I said, the owners put in 10 million each year in addition to the revenue that the club is securing to keep this club afloat and prevent the club actually going into administration, which would be a vulnerable, compromised position. Relationships are naturally important, but the owners manage various projects across the world. The club is important to them. My relationships with them, and they say the relationships with others, with the owners, is naturally important. But as with many other football clubs, the owners don't necessarily have a direct interface with the fan base. I think it's more important that the fans feel that the club is moving in the right direction. If we can get the results on the pitch, everyone's behind the club. It's create that one club, one ethos approach and outlook, and supporting the club to go forwards in the right direction. relationships with the owners, as I say, I mean, if you compare with other football clubs, some clubs it happens, some clubs it doesn't. As I say, our owners aren't necessarily into being rock stars, not wanting the limelight. They want the best for the football club. And naturally, their role is to appoint the right people, like myself and other directors and other senior leaders at the football club, to make sure that we take the club in the right direction. The owners will hold us to account for the outcomes.
Are they fully aware there's a problem between the fan base and themselves and that they have to improve it?
Well, as I said, the owners have many business interests, and this is one that they care deeply about. My role is to make sure that the owners are aware of what's happening on and off the football pitch. And with regards to what may be going on in terms of historically, I possibly can't comment on that. My role is to look forwards and take the club forwards.
Being in January, fans are saying straight away, why are we not acting? The 1st of January comes, we're in the relegation zone, need players. We're now at the 20th of January, and as yet, there is no new additions to the squad. And people like you are the people that the fans are saying, what is he doing? He's been here a couple of weeks.
Well, there are developments ongoing at this moment in time, and there are potential players that could be of interest to us, but any player that we wish to bring into the football club has to be a player that will add value to the squad and enhance what we're doing, but not just to be about a good player, but they have to have the right qualities, the right attributes, technically, physically, tactically, mentally, all of that good stuff. But in addition, we want to get the right personalities into the football club as well. So it's a tricky business. You have to do your diligence on players as well. But at the same time, any player we're looking at bringing in has got to be right for Blackburn Rovers. And, you know, there are many deals out there. There are many players out there. January can be an expensive month if you get your business wrong. So we have to be diligent in our work. And there are players who potentially could be attractive to us. And there are situations that we're monitoring that, if the timing's right, we can look to do something. And the owners are supportive of that as well.
So is there money available from the owners to say, yes, if these players pass the relevant criteria that you think will improve, is money available to bring players here?
If the player meets the right criteria and there's a chance to do something, the owners are fully supportive. We can do something, absolutely.
The manager has already told us he wants three. He's found the three that he wants. He wants Marvin Emnes to make it four. Will he be supported in that process, Paul, to say, look, Owen, you've found these three players, you've been aware of them since before Christmas, they want to come. Can they be the ones that will be brought in, or is it not as straightforward as that?
Well, you know, it's never straightforward when you're doing deals where you're looking to recruit players from other football clubs. There are a number of developments involved that you have to overcome, and obviously getting the right value for the player as well, and getting the player at the right value, and obviously doing your diligence on the player as well. And then there are other scenarios in terms of we may potentially lose players this window as well, so we have to think about all possible scenarios, that if you lose a player, what's going to be the contingency arrangement. So my job is to have that oversight, have that strategic overview, and make sure that if we are to lose players or if we are to bring players in, well, potentially that could displace a player. So it's always about getting the right balance. So I'm aware of Owen's views, and Owen and I talk daily, so we're on the same page on that.
Is there any sense that you might have to recoup some money before you go out and bring someone in? For example, if Wolves get their desire to get Ben Marshall into the club, would that help you in your case to bring players here?
It's not dependent on it, Andy. It's helpful, obviously, if a deal is to be done for any of our players with any club, and it brings revenue in, and then it enhances our opportunity to bring players in, great. But it's not dependent on that. We're not dependent on that. If the right player is available and the player meets our criteria in terms of cost, quality, and profile and all of that stuff, then we'll do the deal if it's appropriate for this football club. And my job is to look after not just the long-term well-being of the football club, but to make sure that I don't make any decisions here that are going to hemorrhage the future of the club, which is that happens some places where January transfer windows have hemorrhaged and compromised the future of a football club. Again, I have to look beyond this window. I have to look about the long-term viability of the football club. So it's not just about living in the window, and I'm not one for just living in windows. I like to plan several windows in advance. You think about whose contracts are up, which players are going to be available, and what's right for this club. So I'll make the right decisions with the right people. I mean, as I say, obviously in conjunction with the manager and the owners, if it's felt that a player is appropriate and it's right for this football club.
The league table doesn't lie after 26 games, does it? You're in a position where if you remain where you are, you'll be in League One next season. Does that mean that these next couple of weeks are enormous for Blackburn Rovers, that to go to League One would be pretty unthinkable, wouldn't it?
League One for a club of this stature, and for our fans and for the owners and for everybody associated with the club, would be a major step back. But We have to look at what we already have in the building. We have some very talented players who are not even playing at the moment. We've got some players on the sidelines who are due back imminently to strengthen the squad. Staying in this division isn't dependent on us bringing a new blood. New blood will help enhance the squad if it's felt right, if it can add value. But based on what the squad we have a talented squad that's really, really, we should be, in terms of if you look at the stats, if you look at the data, in terms of the outturns from our games, we should be higher up the league. We should be higher up the league. So I'm comfortable that with the squad that we've got, yes, it needs a bit of tweaking. And as I've said to the manager, I don't think the squad's broken. I think it needs tweaking. It needs tweaking. And we've got some good players coming back. And by players returning, it frees up other positions as well. So I'm not saying, you know, everything's where we want to be. Naturally, third from bottom of the league is not where we want to be. But at the same time, staying our opportunities of staying in this division are not dependent on bringing in new blood this window. If we can get the balance right between getting those players fit who are unfit, who are out the squad at the moment, and they say maybe a little bit of tweaking in certain parts of the pitch, we'll be okay.
Can you guarantee the fans then that someone new will be in this building before January the 31st or not?
I'm not going to put my name to guaranteeing that happening because there are so many variables in this game, but I would like to be in a position that if the right player is made available and that player can enhance value to the squad, naturally we'll look at it seriously.
Could you just fill us in? We spoke to Owen yesterday and there was dialogue with Swansea and Marvin Emners and perhaps Wolves and Ben Marshall. Has anything moved on ahead of this weekend's game against Birmingham City that you can share with us at this stage?
Conversations are ongoing at the moment regarding both players, and at this moment in time I'm not in a position to give anything more. So they're sensitive conversations and naturally I have to be measured on what I can share and what I can't. But conversations are ongoing.
Are conversations ongoing with any other players at this moment in time as potential incomings, or are you still weighing things up, so to speak?
Discussions are ongoing with other players, absolutely.
On the role that you are doing here, Paul, it is not just transfers. There's a lot more to the role here, isn't there? Could you just fill us in on that?
Player recruitment, Andy, absolutely, it's a good question. Player recruitment is only one part of the role. Obviously, the football department has many different component parts. We have an academy, which is a successful academy, which has in recent years produced some very successful players who have done well for this football club and gone on to do well at other clubs as well. We also have a medical department. It's in our interest to have a successful medical department to help with the rehab of players. The physiotherapy department as well, in terms of preparing players and making sure that players recovering from injury are getting where they need to be getting. And obviously, as I say, player recruitment is only part of the role, absolutely. But it's important that all of these parts, component parts, contribute to us having a successful football department to help take the club forwards.
What can you do mostly to help Owen and his staff?
Well, on a daily basis, Owen and I have a regular dialogue, and it's about bringing challenge and support about on-the-field matters, off-the-field matters, making sure that, yes, player recruitment is an important part of that, but obviously talking about the games, talking about preparation for the games. Owen's vastly experienced in what he does. He's got an experienced management team around him. My job is to bring the right challenge, bring the right support, ask those questions about players, think about different possible scenarios as well. But at the same time, depending on how results go, making sure that help manage the if you like, the manager's emotional well-being as well. So we're keeping things in perspective. You know, we lose last week against Ipswich, and individual errors have cost us that game. So making sure that we keep things in perspective, that despite the team's shape being right, despite the setup being good, despite there being many fine features in the game that we didn't want to lose, but we lost in such a manner that it was clear that there was individual errors when you really drill down to where the defining factors. So making sure that, as I say, my job is to bring the right balance of challenge and support to the head coach.
You've mentioned long-term and short-term objectives here. Is the short-term objective just to make sure this club is in the Championship again next season? Can that be the only objective, really, between now and May?
Fortunes of the first team, Andy, drive the fortunes of the club. So much as there are many other departments that I'm responsible for and many other departments at the club, it's important that our on-field experiences, say, get us to a place where we are competitive in the division and we can remain in the division as well. That's absolutely a key priority for the remainder of the season, doing what we can, focusing our energies on making sure that the team is competitive, the players who are unfit are fit, and getting players to a place where, and creating that right environment where it's conducive to allowing us to get those results that we're seeking to get.
And is there a genuine concern from India where the club finds itself at this moment in time?
Absolutely. The owners are hurting, as will the fans will be as well. And as the staff at the football club, this is one club, this is one community. One loses, we all lose. And Everybody wants the club to kick on and, as I say, get out of this position that we find ourselves in. This is hurting the owners. You know, they've invested in this, not just on a financial, but on an emotional level as well. And there are regular communications. If these owners weren't so emotionally invested in the project, if they didn't care about the club, the questions, the conversations, the level of accountability that's put on me would not be happening.